So as Johnny rightly said, everyone, the last couple of weeks, we're looking at the LifeSpring values in the church. And we have a great many. I'm just blessed enough to bring the second one, which, as you can see, is the importance of relationships this morning. But, guys, if you haven't heard the last 2 weeks from Pastor Nev about grace, it has been absolutely fantastic. You can go on the LifeSpring website and download them. They really are absolutely brilliant. But for the next few weeks, I believe there's coincidentally 12 values of LifeSpring Church. I'm on value 2, like I said, which is the importance of relationships. But this morning, is there a clock anywhere? Or am I going to use my phone to see what's going on? Cool. I want to speak this morning on the importance of friendship in the church and what characteristics and aspects we can learn from the Bible, from Jesus, and hopefully from me a little bit. Now, as I was thinking about this, I wonder if we went outside into Reading Town Centre and asked people, is the church friendly, what their answers may be. Now, I'm pretty sure that some people will say, yeah, of course it's friendly. But some people may think otherwise, that the church isn't friendly. But as people in the church, we need to be the most friendly, the most happy, the most welcoming, the most loving people ever. Because I don't know about you, but we have something super exciting to be excited about. Now? Yeah. You know, Jesus is awesome, isn't he? Jesus is awesome. And we all look, when we talk about Jesus, like, yeah, Jesus is awesome. You know, he changed my life. Anyone else raise their hand in the air if Jesus has changed their life? Exactly, that's the vast majority of here. And if you haven't put your hand up today, there'll be an opportunity for it to happen later, which is really cool. But Jesus is the most important thing. And if we can't sing and shout about it and get people to be excited, and if we're not excited about Jesus, then no one else is going to be. I just want to go over a few things about friendships. When we talk about relationships, we could talk about boyfriends and girlfriends and what the Bible says and what we as a church thinks you should and can't do. But that's not for this morning. Emma and I are having a relationships talk with the youth at some point soon. But let's crack on. Often, as churches, we're busy. And we see friendships as a five-minute chat before the service and five-minute chat after the service. And if you're really lucky, you may get a text from your cell leader or your friends during the week. But I want to let you into a little secret. Church is more than meetings. Did we know that? Church is more than meetings. Church is the people. And yes, it is fantastic to come on a Sunday morning or a Tuesday evening for your church service and your cell groups. But church is more than Sunday mornings. You see, I love the prayer meetings. I love Rise on a Sunday evening. I love these Sunday morning services. I love prayer and sanctification weeks. I love going on conferences. But church is more than meetings. Even though meetings can and are awesome. Sometimes we just speak to people throughout the week. You know, we need to have a change of heart and mindset and chat and love people as they walk through our doors and believing that we're going to make great friends with these people the first time they walk through the door. Now, this is the job of the pastors in the church. This is the job of the leaders in the church. But it's a job for everyone. We are a team working together to see this nation changed. And if even one person walks through these doors on a Sunday morning and doesn't feel loved, doesn't feel cared for, doesn't feel like there's an opportunity to make a friend here, then we're probably doing our job wrong. So my question is, do we want to see God's kingdom grow? 10 of us do. If the answer is yes, then let's be loving and friendly so at least people will want to come and find out more. Now, as you all know, Emma and I have the joy of heading up the youth work in the church. But every event we put on, at the beginning of the event, we say to any leader who's on our teams, if you're grumpy, if you're tired, or if you're not feeling friendly, either go home or you're coming to receive. Because we want people, as they walk through those doors, to feel loved for. That smile is real. They are feeling cared for. People are interested about their lives. You know, I've learned something very important. That even if the music is awful, the sermon is rubbish, if people feel welcomed and loved as they walk through those doors, they will come back. But if the music and the sermon is fantastic, but people haven't been spoken to, haven't been had a good conversation with, they might not come back. Because friendship is so important. Disclaimer here, the worship is always awesome in this place. The teaching is always fantastic in this place. And I'm sure that everyone always, with the amazing welcoming team we have, always feel blessed as they walk through the doors. If you don't, please see Johnny or please see Emma Novak and they will sort it out. But friendship is important to LifeSpring. Friendship is important to our pastors in the church, and friendship is important to God. You know, I could list many characteristics and many aspects of important ways to be friendly in church this morning, but I've nailed it down just to four to begin with for this morning, for time's sake. Firstly, we need to love each other. Secondly, we need to hang with each other. They're my two cats, by the way, aren't they cute? And we need to eat with each other. And we need to have fun together. And lastly, we need not to judge each other. As you can see, I can't count. That was five and not four. Before somebody points it up later and makes me feel silly. Now, if we think about it, it's very much like Jesus did and lots of other people in the Bible. We need to be a church who don't only hang with each other at events or at cell group, but during the week, in coffee shops, at each other's homes, watch the football together. We're going to see Liverpool smash Real Madrid on Wednesday, and that's really exciting. And we must include in these opportunities new people who walk through the doors, so everyone can feel part of the family of LifeSpring and part of the family of Jesus. Friendship is so important. Now, I was thinking, these are just good ideas, James, you come up with. But I want to look through some passages in the Bible and some things which Jesus did to prove that what I'm saying is good. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 12 says this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So according to this passage, if we don't love, we don't know God, because God is love. Who here knows God? Less people than who were saved earlier. That's kind of strange. But God is love. The Bible says so, and I believe what the Bible says. And if we're Christians in this room, we probably all believe what the Bible says. So if God is love, because we love God and believe in him, we have to love. So let's love every single person who we are blessed to have come through these doors. As I said earlier, we have a fantastic welcoming team, but it's up to all of us. Invite people to your house on Sundays for lunch. Just put an extra chicken in the oven. Peel an extra five potatoes or something like that. Invite people to your houses for Sunday lunch. Grab their mobile number. What I do, because I'm a bit of a hassler, if anyone's in the young people, they know. I say to the young person, here's my number. If you want to find out about the church, text me. And if they do, they're in trouble, because they're going to get so many texts about what's happening. Shake their hand as you walk through a church, as they walk through the church. Give the guys a hug. Make them feel loved. Make them feel cared for. Make them feel welcome. Introduce new people to other people in the church. From day one, our aim is to make a new friend as people walk through those doors for the glory of God. You know, I'm quite a loving chap. I've been watching. Who here has seen the Holy Ghost DVD? The new, I think it's a Bill Johnson one, already. He's on it. And it's absolutely fantastic. And there's a guy on there called Todd White. I think my cousin Dan absolutely loves Todd White. He's got dreadlocks and he does lots of healing on the streets and he's absolutely brilliant. And anyway, so they're at this gig. They're at a concert with some people from Korn. Who's heard of Korn? So Korn are quite a dark band, very heavy metal, dreadlocks, lots of makeup stuff, you know, all this sort of stuff, you know, I think I'll fit right in absolutely perfectly in that sort of place. But this Todd White was asked to go with these guys from Korn, of which two of the four are now born-again Christians, which is absolutely fantastic. But strangely enough, well, strangely, that's up to you to think whether I do or not, they've rejoined the band who are playing the same music. But before and after every show, they go to all the fans and telling them, "Our God heals and or do you want salvation?" Anyway, don't worry, I told you. Just watch it. It's flipping fantastic. But this Todd White guy is praying for these guys who's never met. And he's going, "I love you, man. I love you." And he's just saying all this sort of stuff. He's never met these guys. "I just love you." And I loved it. And I was just watching it with Johnny yesterday. And I was like, "Oh, man, I just love that." But sometimes it can have the reverse effect. Just as a little example, when my wonderful friend James Rosser started coming to the church, I remember sending him this great long text. I felt, I just want to really encourage him. I was like, "Rosser, I think you're fantastic. I absolutely love you. You're amazing." And you know, like thinking, yeah, he's going to feel really good about himself. And he sends me this message about one word, moron. I was like... Yeah, well, cheers, you know, cheers, brother. And, well, actually, in fact, that was the toned down version of what he texts me. Actually, if I said what he actually texts me, I probably would have to sit back down, then you'd have to pray for me for forgiveness. But you know, it's important to love. So, as members of this church, let's love everyone. As friends, as they walk through the doors, let not one person not know the love of God. Obviously, people can experience the love of God through the worship, through the talk, through the teas and coffees. But let's let every single person who walks through these doors feel the love of God because we are, as good guys, loving them. You see, Jesus loved everyone. If Jesus was in this building, whoever walked through that door, he would shake their hands, he would give a hug, whether they were poor, rich, homeless, whatever, Jesus would have loved these people. So we need to set the example if we believe this church is going to grow like crazy, which we do. Point one, love each other. Point two, Jesus hung out and ate with his friends. So right now, I feel super close to God because I love hanging with my friends and I love eating. There are, in this church, we'll look at these verses on the next slide, so don't worry, it's not just some random verses there. There are so many fantastic people in this church. See, I'm trying to stop saying the word awesome, so I'll probably say a different word all the time. But there's so many awesome people in this church who are so hospitable. And you know what? It's so fun hanging with each other and eating with each other. Did you know that? But it's even more fun if you hang out and eat with people you don't necessarily know sometimes, because you get to know them, you get to know their funny traits and all this sort of stuff. But Jesus, you see, spent lots and lots of time with his disciples. They would walk together to places. They would chat together. And they would eat together. You know, Jesus loved eating. I imagine his diet was reasonably healthy, you know, and it wasn't like binge eating and all that sort of stuff. But you see, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to yours for dinner. Jesus loved eating with people. We know the story of the 5,000. Jesus just loved eating with people. And you know, being a person, I'm not fantastic at this, but it's so fun and exciting being really hospitable. You know, I heard a story even a few weeks back about someone who had been in the church for 18 months and had never been invited to someone's house for Sunday lunch. That breaks my heart, because we should be so friendly and loving and hospitable at every given opportunity. So invite people to your house straight from church on a Sunday. Go and have a bite to eat with them before cell group. Have a coffee during the week. Watch the football together, as I've said. How brilliant was the International Sunday we had about 3 weeks ago? And what did we do afterwards? We all ate together and we had so much fun. And so, guys, it's a challenge to me and maybe a challenge to us. But let's hang together and let's eat together, because church is more than just meetings. Church is friends hanging out together and being able to make new friends. Let's have fun together. People often have the perception that Christianity is boring. And you know what? For some people, as Christians, it probably is. But if that's the case, you probably haven't really grasped who Jesus is. Because I can assure you, Christianity is absolutely far, far from boring. Boring Christians, as I've wrote here, usually don't understand how exciting and awesome Jesus is. You know, the person we're worshiping this morning is a man who healed the sick. Is a man who saw people who were dead come back to life. He's a man who saved the lost. He's a man who did miracles. He's a man who actually came back from the dead himself. It is awesome. And being a Christian is fun. That person agrees as well. He's just making a phone call to say, Jesus is fun. But people often think that all Christians do is go in an old-fashioned church and we pray and we sing hymns. And don't get me wrong, for some people, that is brilliant. You know, to go in an old-style church and sing some songs and hymns. I was chatting to a great friend of mine on Wednesday, and I'd just been to a trip to Costco. I haven't got a Costco card, so I asked my friend, hey, dude, can I come with you to use your Costco? And we were chatting. He's not saved. He would say he's an atheist. Over time, his opinions are slightly changed. And we were just having this conversation, and I was like, brother. Now, he came up to me and said, oh, why do you think me and all these guys who went to the same school are really anti-Christians or really not into Christianity? And he said it was because he went to a really traditional church, blah, blah, blah. Not there's anything wrong with that, but because they would speak to 30-year-olds, they would speak as if they were speaking to a 30-year-old to 6-year-olds. And so he's really put off with the church from that. But it's just amazing how God turns his situations around. He said, and do you know what? I'd love to go back to that church today. And I'm like, what? I don't really know where I'm going this, but I realized it was a good point in my head a minute ago, but it's not on my notes. But it's a good story, though. So God can turn situations around, and God can use us to turn situations around. Amen. So let's have fun together. That's what I'm saying. But people, yeah, we can have great fun together. And it is great to pray, and it is great to sing. But let's have fun together. We have got this barn dance on November the 15th. I can't dance. Johnny doesn't even know what a do-si-do is. But I'm going to come to the service on a Sunday, on that Saturday evening. And I'm going to have a whale of a time and make a fool out of myself. But hopefully I'm going to make friends and know people more than when I entered that building. Because it's good to have fun together. When we have church picnics on a Sunday, about 40 people of a congregation of 300 come along, and we have so much fun. I just absolutely love trying my best to catch Pastor Nev out in the rounders games. And often I score rounders and he doesn't, and it's absolutely awesome. But come along to these things. It's good to have fun together and make friends. When we have barbecues, come along. Craft days like Jackie's running on October the 29th. Yeah, thumbs up. October the 29th. Bring your family along to it and make some friends. You know, people think the church is boring, but actually we're really fun and super exciting. Church is more than meetings. Church is the people, so let's love each other. Acts 2, verse 46 to 47 says this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke breads in their homes and ate together. So even the disciples in the Bible ate together, the people who were saved in Acts ate together, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Where did they break bread together? In their homes. Where did they eat together? In their homes. So guys, let's invite people to our homes and have some friends and make some more friends. Let's not judge each other. One of the most important roles in the church, the The people outside think the church judge and the church are hypocrites, of which if we're hands in the air, if we said we weren't, we'd be hypocritical anyway, because we all are sometimes. But don't be judging if possible. Oh, I don't like the way that person dresses. Let's not tell them on the first week, yeah? Let's be kind and loving. Oh, darling, your top's too low cut. Yeah, it may well be, but if you tell them that on the first week, they're going to walk straight out that door and never come again. Oh, you've got alcohol smell on your breath. Don't say that. Offer them a chewing gum. You know, there's so many ways we can be friendly and not judging. Be loving and friendly to people and do not judge. We know this. John 8, verse 1 to 11 says this. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any of one of you who is without sin be first to throw a stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I. Go now and leave your life of sin." So Jesus didn't judge, but he taught people how to live a better life. So don't do that. It's silly. I love you. You're forgiven, but don't do it anymore. You know, that's not judging. That's helping people out of tricky situations. Even in this room, I can guarantee to you there are some funny characters in here. There really are. Look at me. You know, I'm a strange guy. You know, you may see me every now and then. Praise God, we'll be filming the announcements again soon, and you'll see me saying some silly stuff up there. You know, I'm a strange character, but let's be loving and let's be friendly. Let's not judge people as they walk through this door. The majority of the time, we will not even know their background story. Let's love and let's not judge. Jesus says quite clearly here, "He who has no sin in your life, chuck the first stone." And I'm pretty sure every single one of us in this room would be leaving the stones on the floor and walking away as Jesus said that. And so guys, as people walk through these doors, they may have earrings all the way up there. They may look like the guys from Corn who have got makeup and long beards and look crazy and awesome. To them, I'm sure. And let's not judge them. You know, I was chatting as I was showing this video. I'm sure Emmy won't mind me saying. She was like, "But he looks so scary." And he did. But I was saying, but these are the sort of people who are going to reach those sort of guys. You know, if I walk into a corner of Marilyn Manson gig, they're just going to look at me and think, "I'm not interested." We need these sort of people. We need to not be judging as these guys walk through the church. When we have a relationship in the church with these people, then maybe we can start to begin to teach them and correct them. And we can tell them that having lots to drink on a Saturday night isn't sensible, or any night of the week isn't sensible. We're not judging, we're teaching as Jesus did. Bless you. I think that was Lisa. It's an annoying sneeze, I could tell. People will want to come into an environment where they feel loved and where they don't feel judged, where they feel cared for, where they can be taught, and where they're loved. That is our job as Christians. But if we can't exercise it in church, if we can't exercise it in cell groups, or Rise, or Energy, or Tiggers, or Cafe 12, where we want our friends to come, what's going to happen? People may come because you've invited them and are very polite and do so, but they won't come back because there's no friendship and they don't feel loved and cared for. Mark 3, verse 13 to 15 says this. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. We need to be these sort of people who are so friendly and loving and caring and non-judging that when we call these people and invite them to things, they come straight away because they can see in our life that we are living a life worthy and of Jesus. Because you see, Jesus was passionate. Jesus was positive. And I can guarantee to you, he always had fun. He knew that there wouldn't be enough bread to feed 5,000 people, but I'm sure he was just having a little giggle about it. He knew that he could provide all the bread. He was just having fun. So in our friendships in the church, and when people come into the church, let's not be negative. Don't ever slander other people in the church. It's horrible. It's happened to me on many occasions. It's horrible. Don't be gossips. Gossips is the most horrible thing ever. Let's be the opposite. Let's be positive. Let's be encouraging. And people will begin to want to follow us. Friendship is such an important value at Lifespring Church. Relationships are so important in this church. Because church is more than meetings. Church is the people. Jesus had a vision and a purpose for his disciples. But we read he called them to be with him before he sent them. So there were his friends. And friends who work together as a team will make a difference in this town, I believe. So guys, the 5 points I'd like to bring this morning is how to have the best friendship in this church, which people outside of the church, when they come in, will be like, oh my gosh, these guys are so awesome. Is we need to love each other. We need to hang out with each other, eat with each other, have fun together, and not judge each other. You know, it's easy on a Sunday after a busy Sunday morning when we have a picnic. You know, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm like, oh man, I'm just tired. I can't be bothered to go. You know, hands in the air. That's how I think sometimes. I really do. But when I go, I have a fantastic time because I'm getting to know people better. And when we're close-knit friends, we will see this nation changed. I believe it with all my heart. But I don't like coming into a church service on a Sunday and not telling people why we want to be the most friendly people, why we want to be loving, why we want to be caring, why we want to be positive, why we don't want to judge. And there's only one reason behind that. And that reason is Jesus. Because he can change and has changed my life. Many of you know that I'm Pastor Nevin, Pastor Jackie's son. And 10, 12 years ago, I was working in the bank and I was earning some good money. But my life was in a bad place. Every penny I earned would go on partying or super expensive jumpers. I had about 5 for you young people in this room, 3 or 4 Stone Island jumpers, 2 Stone Island coats, you know, worth hundreds of pounds. That was my God. That was what I wanted in life. I just wanted to spend as much money on expensive clothes and partying. But about 10 years ago, I discovered Jesus. And everything changed. I wish I could put my hand in the air and tell everyone in this room that after that night, I never had one single struggle ever. I'm not saying that's not possible, but that's not what happened to me. You know, I'm 32 years old. I look 22, I know. And I still struggle in areas of my life every single day. I really do. But I know that Jesus came to die for me. And he came to die for every single person in this building. He came to die for every single person in this whole world. And I'm here as a living testimony that God can and will change your life around if you give him the opportunity to do so. And not one Sunday morning should ever happen without that opportunity. Not one single cell group meeting should ever happen. Not one single Rise meeting should ever happen without the opportunity of receiving Jesus into your life. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus is awesome. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for Kerry. Jesus died for every single one in this building. A horrible death. I won't go into details. It's a Sunday morning. We won't want to know about it. But it was horrible. It was violent. It was nasty. And he died for you. And the reason he died is because we've all done stupid things in our life. Can I just get a hand in the air if you've ever done a stupid thing in your life? Most of us, again, man, some people have got to pray for me who don't do stupid things in their lives because, gosh, I've done lots of stupid things in my life. And when I chose to accept Jesus into my life, he chose to forgive all those silly things I've done. Jesus died upon the cross. And then 3 days later, he came back to life. And when we choose to believe in Jesus, every single stupid thing we've done can and will be forgiven. The Bible says to confess your sins. And so what I want you all to do is line up and... When the Bible says confess your sins, just tell Jesus, Lord, you know what? I thought negative thoughts about Paul's piano playing this morning. I didn't. It's been fantastic. God, forgive me from that. And he forgives you. But there's one word which is really important when we're talking of salvation. And it's one you'll hear a lot in church services, and it's the word called repentance. And I know you would have learned it on the encounter last week, but repentance is turning completely around from the rubbish things you're doing in your life. Let me give you a quick example. So over here, when I was a young guy in the bank, all it was about pub, clubs, and football, and football away days. So I'm walking down like, yeah, come on, this is awesome. I encounter Jesus, and I decide, I'm not made to, I decide and I choose to turn around from that and start focusing on Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes my feet start turning around a bit again, and that seems all nice and fantastic. But I'm choosing to keep focusing on Jesus because he's changed my life. And so this morning, I want you to know that as a church, we want to be the most friendly, fantastic, loving people in the whole world. I want you to know that Jesus loves for you, he cares for you, he has a purpose for you, he has a plan for you, and he wants to use you, dare I say it, to see this nation changed and transformed. That's a fact. He does want to use you to see this town changed. It may be in doing the PowerPoint slides. He wants to use you to do the PowerPoint slides so people can see it. It may be speaking, it may be whatever. God wants to use you. And this morning there's going to be an opportunity for anyone to receive Jesus into their life. Guys, can I ask us to stand up, please? Now, if you feel comfortable, I don't want anyone in this room to feel uncomfortable at all. If you feel comfortable, I'm going to ask you to do three things for me. One is close your eyes. Can we all close our eyes? Fantastic. The second thing I'm going to do is, if you feel comfortable, is to hold your hands out in front of you. Fantastic. And the third thing I'm going to ask you to do, if you feel comfortable, is to repeat the prayer I'm about to say. So I'm hoping that all makes sense. So I'm going to say a line, and then you will say a line. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive all of my sins. I confess my sins before you this day. I denounce the enemy and his works. I like that bit, we're going to say it again. I denounce the enemy and his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that you rose from the dead and I am saved. Today is my day. Lord Jesus, I choose to live for you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Now, just as our eyes are closed, guys, and our hands are still held out just so it feels a bit more fun, I want to ask you, if you said that prayer for the first time, and you meant it with your heart, you know, if you said the prayer just out of respect for me, I appreciate that. But if you said that prayer for the first time, and you meant it with all your heart, and you know that today is the day I want to live for Jesus, I want to ask you just to raise your hands in the air, just as people have got their eyes shut so no one else can see. Thank you. You know, I want a couple, three opportunities of prayer this morning. Sorry, Johnny, I hope this is okay. The first prayer is, you know, the Bible says there's a party in heaven when people give their lives to Jesus. Did you know that? And so this morning, somebody's given their life to Jesus and there is a party in heaven. If you were those person, let's give the Lord a round of applause. I'm just going to ask James and Lisa, can you just quickly come down here for 1 second, please? Now, I know these guys didn't see the hands go in the air because they weren't looking. Not they had to. But if you're the guys who put your hands in the air to receive Jesus, they're going to sit back down. They're just on the second row. Please go and see them. They'd just like to have a pray with you and give you some free literature we would love to give you guys. So if that was you with the hand in the air, guys, please sit down again if you want to. Please see these guys. Two opportunities for prayer this morning, and then three because we can pray about anything and everything afterwards as well. Some of us, I believe, are going through a tough time in life, and today is the time to get on our hands and knees and say, God, I'm back in the game. No more messing about. I'm back in the game. I'm here to win souls. I'm here to make disciples. I'm here to see this town changed for the glory of God, not for the glory of life, but for the glory of God. If you're those people who are saying tonight is the night to, I often speak in evenings, this morning is the morning I'm going to get back in the game, then I want you, as we sing this song, to come up for prayer. And thirdly, I've been talking about being the most friendly bunch of people in the world, and if I was to say to you, come up if you're grumpy, you're not going to come, because that would be a bit strange. I agree. But guys, if you are just wanting to be more friendly, more hospitable, just being able to love people even more than you could ever imagine, then I want to ask that you come to the front and be prayed for as well. That's not to say that you're not being hospitable at the moment. That's to say I want to be more hospitable because I want to be the most friendly group of people in the world. So we got a song, Rob?
Sweet.
Perfect song. I didn't even hear it, but I'm sure it is perfect one. Guys, there's nothing special about the front. It's the same flooring at the front as it is at the back, as it is in the middle, as it is in most of the rooms downstairs. But there's something about getting out of your comfort zone to come to the front and say, God, do you know what? I'm going to get out of my comfort zone because I love you and I want you and I want you to be a part of my life. So during this song, guys, if you want some prayer to come back to God and say you're back in the game, to be fantastic at building great relationships with people, or for anything whatsoever, then we ask you to come to the front during this song. Father, this morning, I want to say thank you. Thank you that you're awesome. Thank you that you've chosen every one of us in this room to make a difference. Father, for the words I said this morning, which are rubbish and garbage, would it go in one ear and out the other of the people stood before me? And Father, for the words which were clearly from you, would they hit our hearts? And through your Holy Spirit, would we implement things in our lives to see your kingdom come? In Jesus' name.